Go ahead and be dismissed to Sunday school. Okay. Well, this is an extra blessing because not only are you going to be able to get this Sunday school lesson, but you'll be able to get that one next door too. So do me a favor and try to put. All right. Man, didn't you guys do a great job?
Amen.
Amen. A lot of work. All right, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 11 today. The verse that we have, we're doing some Proverbs for Living, different proverbs out of the book that teach us how to live in this life, and has some real, real good advice for us. And so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 11, and I didn't actually pick this verse because it was controversial like the last verse. It just happened that way. Verse 22 says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Let's ask God to bless our lesson. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping all the men and women safe as they worked on the building here and got it ready for us. And Lord, thank you for giving us a place to meet. And providing the things that you provided for us, love you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us especially your word that in this life we have a guide, we have a standard, we have something to teach us. And Lord, I pray that you would help every day that we be good students of your word. We constantly seek. And Lord, many times we do, we put it off to the side, we get distracted with other things, and we shouldn't do that. Lord, we do want to be good students of your word. And Lord, we want this word to change us and to make us different. We ask that you would help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a proverb that paints a word picture, gives you a lesson in a subject, and uses a very brief word picture in order to illustrate that statement. And I don't know if you realize it, but to be able to put in depth into a short compact statement is actually pretty difficult to do. Often among preachers that the longer you go, probably the less you were prepared. You know, if you tend to ramble, that may mean that, you know, that you weren't really prepared and that you did a lesson tight enough. And so Proverbs, you know, kind of gives us the idea that we have these statements. They're very short, but they're also very profound. And this is one of them. It paints a word picture, and the word picture, of course, gives you all kinds of things in your mind. It's all kinds of scenarios pop up, and one being that, you know, you have this pig, and you know, pigs are a lot dirtier in the pig pen than they are once they're in that cellophane wrapper at HEB, you know. You might think, oh, pork, you know, it's great. It's pork chops, they're great. But, you know, in their original condition, they're pretty dirty animals. And what makes this illustration probably even more impactful is the fact that when Solomon was writing these proverbs, pigs were an unclean animal. Israel didn't eat them. They didn't raise them. They didn't associate with people who raised them. Pigs were not part of the diet. God commanded them to stay away from this kind of meat. And so for them, you know, for a Jew to be listening to this prophet back in Solomon's day when it was written, carries much more disdain and much more a sense of abomination, and gives the contrast in a much greater sense. And the word picture is a jewel of gold in a swine snout. And so it carries the idea of something being incompatible, something dirty and unclean and abominable like a pig, and then something beautiful like a jewel of gold. How these two things don't go together. They're incompatible with each other. And it's comparing it with something. It's comparing it with a woman that has no discretion. There in verse 22, it says, a jewel of gold in a swine snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. And, so we have two things describing this woman that is compared to a pig that has a jewel of gold in its snout. And one is that she's fair, which probably has to do with her physical beauty. Maybe has to do with her personality, but I doubt it. I think more tending towards her natural physical and the fact that she is without something, that she's without discretion. And so this is the proverb that's before, the proverb that's given to us. And it's here to teach us a lesson about life. And before you exempt yourself, understand that this lesson right here is not going to be a lesson simply on women without discretion. But I think the word picture pretty much indicates that, you know, this could apply to men. It could apply to children. It could apply to just about anybody. Anybody that is without discretion is in serious trouble. And that's what this verse is trying to say. So the character, trying to think of the word for it, the character element, the character trait that he's trying to put forth here is discretion. And so let's look at discretion for a minute. Let's think about it. Carries several different connotations, several different meanings that we could give toward the word discretion. And it's incumbent upon us to want to know exactly what discretion means, because if we're without it, we really need to know it, given this, given this sharp contrast between something like a pig that has a jewel in its mouth and a woman that is without discretion. And discretion carries several things. Number one is it has to do with judgment. Think about it. So suppose somebody goes up before is accused of a crime. They have a trial and everything, and then it comes time for sentencing. In a lot of cases, the judge is the one that can sentence. He can listen to the case, whether somebody is found innocent or guilty, and then he has what they call discretion. So he has the freedom to be able to decide to give somebody a very stiff sentence or to give somebody a very light sentence. And so he can weigh the circumstances of the case. He can weigh all of the extenuating factors, and he can decide. I'm not super familiar with the court system, so I imagine there are cases where the jury decides the sentence, but a judge many times has that kind of discretion. So discretion carries the idea of judgment. You've heard the idea of making a judgment call on a particular thing, where you weigh the facts in a case and you make a decision. Someone that is without discretion then would be someone that is without good judgment. It tells in the case, because this is filmed, but I had a conversation with a man in a particular situation one time, and of course we asked him, look, do you have anything, you know, we're going to do a background check. Do you have anything that you'd like to tell us beforehand, you know, that might help us to decide the case, you know, criminal background check? And he said, well, no, he said, I'm pretty clear, except for one thing. He said, I have a felony, a poaching felony. I said, oh man, I thought first of all, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe he was one day late on deer season or something like that. Well, long story short, turns out that he was poaching. It was in Hollywood Park. It was in the Justice of the Peace front yard. Justice of the Peace saw him, got the license plate number. It was bad. It was really bad. So we didn't hire him. He was an excellent carpenter. I mean, he would have, you know, good worker and everything. But we decided not to hire him because of we weren't sure about his ability to be able to judge. You think about it. It takes, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it doesn't give you confidence over his ability to make good decisions. Now, maybe if he was 40 and this had happened when he was 17, you know, hey, man, people change, you get warm, but it was the year before. Okay? That's an illustration over someone who may not have discretion. And believe me, decisions are very important. It's important to make good and right decisions. Because you gotta live your life based on the decisions that you make. And that's just the way that life is. And some people screw up their lives as they make a series of bad judgments. And so here's a case where somebody is very well qualified, but maybe doesn't have very good judgment. Here's a woman who is fair, but doesn't have good judgment. That's one of the things that comes into play here. Have you ever watched a program on TV and then it comes up on the screen and, it may be, a TV show that has something, maybe explicit violence, profanity, drugs, sex, other things. And then it says what? It says, well, none of you watch TV, so you wouldn't know, but I'll tell you, your viewer discretion advised. So what do they ask you to do? They're asking you to make a judgment call, right? They're asking you to weigh the facts and say, do I want my 5-year-old watching program? And of course, a good parent is going to be, of course, you know, you don't want the 5-year-old making the viewer discretion. You want parents making that. And by the way, parents, it is a good idea for you to have viewer discretion. I'll just put this off on the side, just kind of a side advertisement for parents. Don't let your kids play just any old video game.
Amen.
Check it out, man, because there are some video games out there that will actually change the way that they think. There are video games out there that allow you to commit multiple murders without any kind of psychological recourse or consequence. And there are all kinds of junk out there. There are TV programs, and listen, a TV program, a video game, anything having to do with the media, as some say, it is not innocent stuff. It changes the way that you think. I think one of the reasons why we're having problems with so much of this really weird and strange stuff in society is because now with the internet, before you were back out on the farm and the only way you could get a hold of somebody is to go down to the post office and get on the phone and call them, you know. You didn't hear about all these perverts in the world. You didn't hear about all these things. But now somebody in the safety of their home can get on the internet and can access the most wicked minds on the face of the earth. So yeah, viewer discretion is advised. What do we already know without ever reading the Bible is that we need discretion in this life. We need the ability to make good judgment calls. Amen. And we want to train our kids to be able to make good. Amen. We need viewer discretion in the life. We need it because a woman with is like a swine with a jewel of gold in its snout. Incompatible, making absolutely no sense at all. Get a verse with me. And also, you know, it carries also the context not only, you know, of having good judgment, but of, Discipline has the sense too of behaving in such a way of there's a related word. It's called discreet, and the word discreet means that, you know, there's certain things that I'm sure how to explain this, but well, you know, discreet. Kind of look. Have you ever met anybody that there's no filter between brain, where they just blurt out all kinds of family secrets, and they blurt out this and they blurt out that? Well, that's not being discreet, you know. There is this sense there should be some sort of a filter where it comes out of your mouth. You know, is this appropriate to say? Is this going to benefit? There are all kinds of things that come into play when you make a good, godly decision. but look at Proverbs in chapter 2 and verse 11. There's several places in the book of Proverbs where discretion is mentioned. Proverbs chapter verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Flip down to verse 16, to deliver thee from strange woman, even from a stranger which flattereth with words. And when it's talking about strange woman here, it's not talking about how she acts. She acts in a strange manner. It's talking about a woman that does not belong to you. So it has to do with all kinds of fornication. It has to do with adultery. And that's what it's talking about here. The other one is talking about an evil man that has a dirty mouth and evil plans in his mouth right there. And so discretion says, it says discretion shall preserve thee. One of the things when we raise our kids that we, at least Judy and I, were cognizant of is we didn't want our kids to be crowd followers. It was just kind of in our mind. We didn't want them to follow the crowd. We didn't want them to do things just because their friends were doing it. It was one of the reasons why we kept them in public school rather than homeschooling. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the pros and cons of that. But we decided we were just going to monitor them closely. It's, in my mind, it was better that they find out early that as a Christian, they're a square peg in a round hole. And that they don't fit in, and that not fitting in is actually okay. That is not really a bad thing to fit in. And so we didn't want to, and the truth is that we also, as Christians, should not be those that are easily led. What preserves you from being easily led? What preserves you from being fooled, you know? What preserves you from being led astray with whatever society is promoting at the time? And listen, there are Christians right now that are being led astray by all kinds of junk that the world has. And there's we could make a long list of just the multitude of trash that that this society has that many Christians are saying, well, yeah, you know, it's okay. When you take a quick look at the Bible and the Word of God, you find out there's a lot that men devise that is not okay with God. But discretion keeps you. It's a preserver. So discretion is a preserver. It's a life preserver for you to figure out how to be able to make good, godly decisions, how to have good judgments. Then it's going to preserve you in life. When you're young, especially, good decisions are going to lay the foundation for what happens afterwards. You find some people that are in their early 30s and everything's all messed up. Well, you can usually, disaster happens to everybody. You know, sometimes life just blindsides you. But for the most part, you can look back and the things that you suffer because of your decisions. And then you just have to say, okay, that was my decision. You know, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to weep and gripe about it. I'm going to do the best I can. But as long as you recognize you're here, not because of somebody else's mess, because of yours. But actually, because the thing we want to do is we don't want to play the blame game with problems in our life. We don't spend our time blaming everybody else. Listen, if your life is screwed up, I can probably guarantee you it's not Trump's fault. Or back up 4 years, you know. It wasn't Obama's fault that your life is screwed up. Come on, man. Don't be blaming it on a politician or on the leader of a country, you know, that all of a sudden your life is in shambles. Look at yourself. What have your judgment calls been like? What kind of discretion have you had in your life? Bible says right here that discretion shall keep thee. And look at Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 2. Verse 1. Bend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman draw the honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And you can read the rest of that another time. Well, it's probably good to... let's just read it. And, yeah, I'm glad we're going to read it, because this is an important point. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now, this is advice to his son, my son. So this is a king giving advice to his son. And what he's trying to tell him is he's saying, look, I'm giving you this advice so that you may regard discretion. What I want you to do is to make a good judgment call. And so then it goes directly into the subject of adultery. And adultery, if you look at it for what it really is, makes absolutely no sense. It's a life destroyer. I mean, all kinds of bad results come about as a result of adultery. But what draws us in? Okay, if adultery is such a bad thing, if the strange woman has steps that lead down to hell, I mean, if that was in the advertisement, I mean, think about how that would change market if somebody hell by so-and-so. You know? But that's not how it's presented, is it? Yeah, don't present it as a very desirable thing. You're tired of what you got, look to something new. You know, this is going to provide you all the fulfillment in life. It's going to provide you all of the... And listen, don't get sucked in... Men, I'm talking to you. Don't get sucked into pornography. Amen. That paper doll does not love you. Amen. And that's exactly what it is. You're playing with paper dolls, as somebody once said. I thought it was a real good way to put it. Don't get sucked into the promise. Amen. You know what discretion does? Discretion gives us a realistic view of what life is so that we can make a good judgment call, a good decision. And so if you know, if I go down this path, I'm going to lose the respect of my kids, probably going to lose my wife, lose my position, all these other consequences that take place. These, I get a baby out of wedlock from somewhere. You got all kinds of complications that go along with that. If you have good judgment, you're going to probably back off and say, look, it's not worth it. Amen. It's not worth the pain. Amen. And then what have you done? You've just saved yourself all kinds of trouble. Amen. That's what discretion will do. Is there any argument then that you ought to have discretion in your life? This ought to be one of the mainstays of your character, is to be able to make good, godly decisions. I would say so. Look at Proverbs in chapter 3 in verse 21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear when the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thee from being taken. So we have one negative motivation to incorporate discretion into your life, and that's so snared by the froward man that you don't get snared by the strange woman. But here is a positive one. Look at the benefits of having discretion in your life. Do you think God's just blowing smoke here? Do you think that he's giving you a pipe dream? No, this stuff is real. There is a benefit to living godly in this present evil world. The Bible says in the New Testament, bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life that now is and that which is to come. I'm telling you, God wants to motivate you to get discretion in your life. Amen. He doesn't want you to be a swine that has a jewel in its nose. He doesn't want you, God's got all kinds of things he wants to save you from. And this, by the way, is not a promise of an easy life. Don't misinterpret this as a promise of a life without problems. Because life has problems, life has difficulties, life has tragedies, life even has failures where you have to get back up, acknowledge your failure, rebuild, and keep on going on. But imagine doing all of that without anything from God. We have some good things here. Wisdom, discretion. Look at Proverbs in chapter 22. In verse 3. This particular verse doesn't use the word, has somewhat of a similar meaning, and that's prudence. Prudence carries the idea of cautiousness, of being just a little cynical, being careful in order to in relation to what you get involved with, to being careful. And what verse did I say? Proverbs 22 in verse 3. It says, and this is also mentioned again, the very same proverb, just a hair different in chapter 27. But it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Here it carries what discretion will do is discretion will give some warning signs of impending danger. Warning signs are important. You get these kids sometimes that think that it's funny to go and take a stop sign down from an intersection. And they think, this is really funny. And they take the stop sign down and it's a big prank and everything until somebody dies because they didn't see the warning. And they didn't stop when they were supposed to stop. And they ended up losing their life. We need warnings. Amen. We need warning signs. I was on the road the other day and I'm driving along and there was a warning sign ahead. It said right lanes. And I'm driving along and there's this guy right beside me. He's not slowing down to get behind me. He's not speeding up to go in front of me. I look over and he's texting. And I could have said, you know, buddy, you're in the right lane. You need to follow the warning sign. I'm staying put. But I said, no, man. I backed off. And at the last minute, I saw him, you know. Hey, look, man, life has some warning signs. Life has some warning signs. There are some warning signs of impending doom. And what it says is that a prudent man, he foresees the evil and he hides himself. The fool just plunges along and he pays for it. He suffers the consequences of it. Warning signs are real important. I know that sometimes we're in a society where it's obvious we have no discretion because of the warning signs that we have in society that I think are totally unnecessary. I bought an iron. And guess what one of the warning signs on the iron said? Do not iron shirt while wearing. It was a warning. And do you know why they put that on there? Because the iron company was sued because somebody tried to iron their shirt while they're wearing it, got burned, and sued the company. I got a few more you might enjoy. This one, you might not think that it's funny. It says, on a particular drug, it said, do not operate heavy machinery while taking drug. Sure, no, funny. Except that it was from the vet for his German Shepherd. They felt compelled to put that warning sign on that. This is one that I've seen before. Actually, this is one that was given to us in the military. It said, do not check fuel level with a lit match. I was glad about that. I said, don't worry. There was one has this thing for seamstresses. It's this disappearing marker that some of you ladies might know about it, where you can mark on your, when you're making your dresses and all that. Mark? No? Okay. Well, it's a marker that they mark on it, and then after a while, it just kind of disappears. Well, on the package of the marker, it says, do not sign legal documents with this marker. Anyway, this isn't stand-up comedy, so I won't tell you the rest of them. You can look them up. But why are they there? It's because some simpleton decided not to think. And believe me, as Christians, and this is funny, you know, these are hilarious, humorous examples. But the truth is that there's a lot out there that can destroy you. And if you're not thinking, if you're not looking a little bit farther ahead, if you're the type that all you care about is right now, the fun right now, the party right now, the good feelings right now, the benefits right now, then you are gonna hurt in this life. Amen. If you don't look farther ahead, you look just right now, you spend all your money, then the end of the month comes and there's no money to pay the rent. You need to look a little farther ahead, you know. You've got to look to the end of the month. You've got to look to what your life is going to be like. What are you doing right now that's going to affect your life 10 years? What is it going to do for me 5 years from now? A prudent man is going to do. He's going to rationalize those things in his mind. You see, God wants us to be thinking people. He doesn't want us to be like a fool that just goes pell-mell and not worried about the consequences. I told somebody one time, we were door knocking in a Southwest neighborhood one time, me and Brian Baldwin, and I don't know if he remembers this, but there was a kid who kind of bounced back and forth between these two kind of quasi, you know, wannabe gangs, and bouncing back and forth, and we were talking to him one day, and then these other kids came up, you know, and one of them had a chain, one of them had a little 25 automatic, and they started talking big, and it was good. We talked our way out of it, and nothing bad happened, nothing bad took place. But I was more afraid of a 14-year-old kid with a 25 automatic than I was afraid of a grown man. And I'll tell you why, because a 14-year-old has no discretion. All he's thinking about is how angry he is right now. All he's thinking about is whatever perceived injustice happened right now. I got dissed right now, you know. I got disrespected. So he lashes out and he does something that absolutely ruins his life. Yeah. Read an article about a young woman, and she just recently got 40, maybe it might not have been at 40 years. That might have been another one, but at least 20 years. She got a long time in prison. She was 20 years old and killed a man while she was driving drunk. And their argument was, hey, this is a good girl. But I'm telling you, you make a decision to drive drunk. You make a decision to drink alcohol and then get into a vehicle, and they came down hard on her, and you think, golly, that's harsh. That's not right. Well, look, I'm telling you, sometimes life is harsh. And there are decisions you can't go back from. There are decisions that are hard to recover from. And you know what we desperately need? We desperately need discretion. It really, it concerns me when I see people that have very little interest in the things of God. Because what's going to happen is they set themselves up to be that simpleton, that fool that just heads for consequences without any kind of consideration for what's going to happen in the future. Discretion, it's like a precious commodity. It's like a guard that guards you from some things. And you might not like the limitations that God places upon you. You might not like the idea. You have to actually rationalize your decisions and find out what God has to say about that particular decision before you make it. You may not like that kind of intrusion in your life, but I'll bet you're really glad that when you're going down that mountain pass and there's a cliff 2,500 feet down, that there's a guardrail there that will actually stop your vehicle if you veer too far to the edge. I bet you're happy they put that guardrail there. There are some places in Mexico in the mountains, they ain't no guardrail. There ain't no nothing, man. It intensifies your perceptions. You're just real careful. You're not like, hey, look over there, you know. You're not like that at all. You're because there's no guardrail in place. You know, God, He put some guardrails in place. He doesn't tell you that that sex is in the confines of marriage only because He wants to ruin all your fun. God's trying to protect you. Amen. God's trying to save you from yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, God's the one that designed us. God's the one that made us. God's the one that thought all of this stuff up. So if you have a problem with the machinery, then doesn't it make sense to go back to the maker and find out what the manufacturer recommends for repair? If you're having problems with yourself, isn't it make it sense to go to the maker and say, Lord, what do I do? So I guarantee He's going to help you out. Look at Proverbs in chapter... Let me make sure I got the right verse here. Proverbs in chapter 2 and verse 1 through 6. And believe me, there's all kinds of ways for you to make judgment calls and to make good decisions. Number one, is there anything in the Bible that specifically prohibits this activity? That would be a good question to ask when you're making a decision. Number two, are there any consequences as a result of this decision that could hurt me or hurt somebody else? And that would be a good question to ask. Number three, could I do this and bring glory to God? Amen. The answer is no, then probably not a good thing. Questions like that you ask yourself when making decisions, that's called discretion. That's called working things out. And so look at, we'll use this as the last verse for our lesson this morning. This is kind of a formula if you want to develop better discretion in your life. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So he's got some words and he's got some commandments that are going to be good for his son. God also has words and commandments that are good for you. So if you get to the place where you eagerly receive his word, you are going to save yourself an incredible amount of trouble. Look at 2. So if thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Look, these are action words. Receive my word. Hide my commandments with thee. Incline your ear. Apply your heart. You're doing everything in the direction of God. Look over in verse 3. If thou criest after knowledge, Thou liftest up thy voice for understanding. Look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver, as a precious commodity, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. It's talking about wisdom here. If your life is marked by this kind of energy towards the things of God, you know what it's going to produce? It's going to produce a good amount of discretion in your life. You're going to be able to make judgment calls, and other people are going to say, why did you do that? But you're going to be able to know that there's certain things that are going to bring you harm, certain things that are going to bring you things, and you're going to gravitate towards those things that are blessings and stay away from those things that cause you harm. Look at the conclusion of the matter in verse 5. It says, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Amen. For the Lord giveth wisdom.
Amen.
You see, this is one of the prescriptions. Get energetic about finding out God's mind on these matters. Fall in love with the things of God. Not just tolerate it. Oh man, I gotta do this. Not begrudgingly. But change your whole attitude and mindset over the things of God, because a fair woman without discretion is incompatible. It's nothing. Her fairness has no benefit towards her when she has no discretion. And by the same token, any advantage that you have in life, any gifts that God has given you, anything that you have, if you don't have the same rule applies. The matter is develop discretion in your life. Fall in love with the wisdom of God. You might want to go through Proverbs and read it not just as an interesting book, but as a guide for your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.